is week 9 of the 2022 college football season. This is the We Hate Your Team podcast. I'm Kelly Ford, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Zach King. Kinger, how we doing this week?
Doing great, brother. As always, you know how it is. Solid slate of games to pick this weekend. It's the first time this has really hit me. The reality has hit me, Kelly. We only have 5 remaining weeks left in the college football regular season. One more Saturday of October football. This is arguably my favorite month of the year. Sad to see it go, but we got some good games to pick, and including a big one in Happy Valley for your Ohio State Buckeyes.
There is a big game this week for Ohio State. There's many big games across the slate. Kinger, you said it. It is hard to believe week 9 is here. Week 13 is rivalry week. Just to put that in perspective, we are quickly approaching the end of the season. So, of course, we're going to enjoy every single college football Saturday that we get. King, we have a great guest lined up to join us today. Someone I am really excited about. I've gotten to know a lot of people on Twitter, King, in the 3 years that I've been on the platform. A lot of good people. Some people you're like, hey, probably won't interact with you much more. Give them the old mute button. Haven't blocked anyone yet, but a lot of mutes. There are very few people, King, who I would consider friends of mine that I have made on Twitter, and good friends at that. This is one of those good friends. You can find him on Twitter at NCAAF_unlimited. Ryan is joining the show. Ryan, how are we doing today?
Good night, Kelly. Thanks for having me. You too, Zach. Appreciate y'all taking the time and invite me on.
Absolutely, Ryan. As I said, you are one of the folks who I have really clicked with the most on Twitter. I think it's only natural, given your area of work and the things that you post and talk about on Twitter, and the overlap that you have, obviously, with what I do as well with the K Ford rating. So, Ryan, if you wouldn't mind, please share with our listeners a little bit about your work in the college football space. How'd you get started? And just take us away. Tell us all about what College Football Unlimited is all about.
Sure. So, we've been doing some sort of modeling probably for about 10, maybe 12 years. I say maybe 12 years because at the beginning it was a very shoddy process. We were digging into numbers, doing a lot of manual data entry, and really got started because I really got started into the betting scene at a young age, probably about 18, and quickly found that I was tired of donating to the man. Really tired of really feeling like I was just guessing. And I think if you're new to betting, or even if you're a casual fan, I think that's really all you're doing if you don't have some sort of baseline. And that's what we did. We started about 10 years ago. Like I said, dabbling in that. We dug a little bit deeper into unit rating. And probably over the last 5-6 years, probably around 2017, found a really good model that we felt good about utilizing actual player data, and then factoring in several different pieces of information, whether it be situational aspects of team schedules, injuries, very in-depth but also thorough look at you know, what might be going on for a team week-to-week basis. So what we do now is provide every single game projection and a cover probability for bettors, so that, you know, it's a little bit easier for those guys to go in and say, hey, I don't have 10 hours to break down these games, do all the heavy lifting. So what I've done is put that into a quick spreadsheet, and it's updated Sunday mornings. That way, people can see, you know, we don't do any altering of the lines once we see lines come out. You know, that way we can generate that trustworthy relationship with all of our clients. So that's generally the goal. We try not to charge a whole ton of money. That way we're not taking off the top of anybody, but also it allows us to invest in the website and allows us to, you know, pay that money back at the end.
That is awesome, Ryan. Again, we have Ryan with us. You can find him on Twitter at NCAAF_unlimited. The website he is referencing, collegefootballunlimited.com. Guys, I've got to tell you, as somebody who kind of started out with the handicapping aspect when I first joined Twitter, Ryan is as good as anyone when it comes to that. The membership levels that he mentioned there, very affordable, and the information that is provided on collegefootballunlimited.com is absolutely fantastic. There are very few products that, really, I think there's only one that I've officially endorsed in the college football space. That is Ryan's website and the matchup tools that he has at his disposal that you're able to access on collegefootballunlimited.com. Ryan, it's so cool to hear the story, to hear how long you've been doing it, and to really see you and the work that you're doing in Twitter and on the website. I'm super fascinated by it. I'm so excited to pick some games with you tonight. It's always fun when you and I go back and forth on teams that we agree on, teams we disagree on. I'm just going to get out of the way right now, Ryan. You're wrong on Arkansas. You've been wrong on Arkansas all year. You've got a love fest with Arkansas. I'm just not seeing it. I wish we were picking an Arkansas game this week, but we're not. So I before I pass it to King to ask some questions too, Ryan, I gotta know. What is it with Arkansas, man? Who is it that we like? Is it just KJ Jefferson's that good? Or can you tell me anything about Arkansas and why they are so consistently highly rated in your model, especially this year?
I think for the most part, we're being underwhelmed this year by their passing game. I think we had a little bit more hope from the transfer portal. And their ability, obviously, to run the ball hasn't been a problem this year. Also, I think that, the debacle that they had at the goal line against Texas A&M really, really swung that their season. I won't say that, it's just been a downfall after that, but, they really played well in that game and played well enough to win. I think if you win that game and you feel a lot better about who they are now, but, I think they have 3 losses now. Is that right?
And you're right, Ryan. That goal line stand, the entire game shifted. It was the fumble, for those that don't remember, it was the fumble. Arkansas going in would have gone up multiple scores. Texas A&M recovers it, takes it all the way back down the field. They score 6 points themselves, and that triggered 3 straight losses then at home to Alabama, on the road at Mississippi State. They did get that bounce back against BYU, but now they've got Auburn on the road this week in what I expect to be really a toss-up game. So I absolutely agree with you, Ryan. That game against Texas A&M, and more specifically, that play with the fumble at the goal line getting returned for 6 points the other way, absolutely has maybe diluted what we think of this Arkansas team. I was just giving you a hard time because I know we've gone back and forth on a couple teams, and that's the one that always comes to mind when I see you have them in the top 20 every single week. I've actually got them power rated number 39 right now, so probably one of our larger discrepancies. But Kinger, I'm sure you've got questions. You always hear from me, King, about the K-4 ratings in my model. Or here we've got someone on the phone on the show who does exactly what I do. I would say he even does it better in some areas, and so I'm sure you've got questions that you always want to ask me, and I tell you no, I'm not answering. Maybe Ryan will give you some luck.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan, for all the listeners out there, this guy runs one of the cleanest websites that I've seen. He's got a ton of information, all the team pages, the different membership levels, depending on where you're at and your kind of gambling journey. But the thing that Ryan said that initially kind of changed his outlook and kind of give him the goal driven him to get to this point was he didn't want to feel like he was guessing. So Ryan, a lot of bettors, I feel like are in similar situations to you. They feel like every week they're trying to absorb all the information that they can to make an educated decision. But at the end of the day, it really is guessing for a lot of folks. So talking about the model, and you said 2018, you finally got to a point where you found a model that worked. What was your background there? Did you kind of have a background creating these models in college football? How long did it take you to get to a model that you felt sustainable? Talk about that process a little bit.
Sure. So I'd say that the first 3-4 years that we ended up doing this, I think that found that the error rate, I know I've heard a lot of the modelers, a lot of the times that Kelly talks about the margin of error. I don't necessarily use the model margin of error measure. I look more at how does our line stack up against the opening line and the closing line, and then also how does it perform against both of them in terms of wins and losses. And so I think at the beginning of our process, we saw that there was a little bit bigger gap than we felt comfortable with in terms of putting out, this is exactly the reason why, or we feel that, it's a reliable number. And like I said, as we got to more of a granular look at the data, at the player level and at the program level, We started ending up getting a lot closer to the opening line, and also saw that closing line average shrink as well. So you saw the average closing line inch closer to zero. So in that case, you know, a lot better performing against the closing, or in terms of accuracy against the closure. So that was our goal. I think we saw a larger gap at the beginning and didn't feel all that comfortable with it, to be honest. So
when gamblers out there and folks who are running their models, when it comes to you and your personal preference, where do you think the value is for bettors when it comes to actually placing bets? Do you wait for that closing line value? Do you like to place them early in the week? How do you kind of go through that process and determine when you place your bets?
Definitely think it's a case-by-case basis. Our numbers show that there's a slight edge for the opening line bet as close to as possible. I know a lot of people nowadays can't actually get the opening line or really close to it. I actually have a local that he doesn't even give it as an option until several hours after. And so, you know, me being in a state that is not necessarily legalized yet, that's the problem that I deal with now. So, but in general, you know, that's the idea. Of course, you know, if you get a feel, and that's really the reason for us putting out the projections and the cover probabilities, is you guys or the members have the option to say, hey, there's a little meat on the bone at, you know, if we say it's a 64% cover probability and the line's at +2.5, you don't feel as bad on giving it an opportunity to get up to 3 and knowing that later on in the week there's still a little value on betting it at big. So it's really a, you know, a case-by-case basis, but I would say that in general, earlier in the week is where we found most of our value.
Gotcha. And that's what I've seen, that I think in most cases, and obviously it does go game by game, but the earlier in the week, getting on those lines, there seems to be more of, I guess, margin of error when they first come out in Vegas as the week progresses with injuries and different factors going into the game. But 57%, 56.9% on the year, Ryan, successful year thus far. Are you happy with the results and obviously everything living up to the expectations and where you're at? Happy with how everything's going thus far this year?
I am. I think the 56.9, I think we've done, that's a historical look. I think I haven't added in back in this season yet. But I will clarify, we had a very slow first 3 weeks, and I've kind of got the feeling that we're going to end up running into this with the transfer portal and the ability for teams to overturn their rosters as much as they have. And like I said, a lot of our model factors in who's where in terms of player, you know, location. So I half expected that, but after week 3, we've kind of leveled set and we're around 56% again. So that's a comforting thought and something that I think that we'll take away in the offseason to figure out, you know, what's really going on in terms of the transfer portal. What can we do better?
Definitely. I think a lot of people went through that same difficult stretch. I think week 2, I went 1-for-8, 1-for-9, and I've been playing catch up ever since. I've not had the 56% since week 3 like you have, so I'm still playing the road to 500 again this year. But early in the season, with all those factors, it was tough, and happy to see the models going in a good direction. Again, to all the listeners out there, you got to check out this website. Very impressive, very well put together. It's a great resource for gamblers out there, that's for sure.
It is awesome. And Ryan, you talked about so many things there that I know we've talked about offline, of course, but talking about what your model says compared to the opening line, which is almost equally valuable for those of us building models, if not more valuable than it is with the closing line, because what we're trying to do is see what is our model coming up with versus the Vegas odds makers. Once the line is open, now the public is going to shift that line. And of course, there are sharps out there who are going to shift it more drastically, and those are people we should be listening to as well. But oftentimes, the general public can skew a line away from where the models think they should be, which that's where you end up getting value bets and where you're able to find those. So, yeah, Ryan, I think it's super impressive, your ATS record in recent years. I experienced the same thing with my numbers early in the year, not necessarily against the spread records, because I am over trying to track those and keep up with those. That's really not where my main area of interest is in watching and consuming college football. But even with my absolute air in the early weeks of the season was much greater than it has been here in recent weeks, and it just continues to go down week over week on the season average. I think you're right. It's so much uncertainty about player movement, transfer portal. How are all the pieces going to mash together? I'll put my hand up and say I'll own it. I had USC coming into the year. I think they started in the preseason number 27 for me. I know they were higher for you, Ryan, so kudos to you for having more faith in USC. They very quickly jumped up into my top 10 after, I want to say, 2 or 3 weeks, and they've been there ever since. My model had serious concerns about the defense and about all of these cool, fancy, flashy toys they have on the offensive side of the ball. Are they all going to fit together? This isn't Xbox. This isn't PlayStation. You can't just throw all these five-star transfer players together and expect it to work right away. Well, USC actually had it work right away. I know they've lost the game now, but they're still power rated in the top 10. So just so much uncertainty these days in the summer with all the player movement. But it keeps us on our toes. It keeps us busy. Right, Ryan?
Yep, most definitely.
All right. Well, you guys ready to pick some games here then?
Let's pick some games.
Oh.
Cool. All right, King, let's start with you on this one because I think you were thinking I was going to start with myself.
I was thinking you were going to start with yourself.
Yeah. I'm starting with you, King. We're in the Big Ten. It's a big one in the Big Ten East. We have Ohio State going on the road to Happy Valley to play Penn State. King, what does Vegas think about this game? And then let's get your thoughts as well.
So Ohio State is a 15.5-point favorite on the road, the over-under 61. So Penn State, they avoided the letdown game last week. You know, big one, white out last Saturday night, Happy Valley versus Minnesota. Some injuries with the Golden Gophers, so Penn State was really able to take care of business pretty easily there. I almost wish that white out would have been this Saturday. I don't know if they knew that they were getting the day game here, but not quite the same vibes, 11 o'clock versus 7 p.m. in Happy Valley, if I do say so myself. Ohio State offense, absolute wagon, but last week was the first time they really struggled. Stroud, less than 300 yards, only 60 yards on the ground. That Iowa defense is good. The Buckeyes were able to roll in that game, but they really relied on the defense and six takeaways in a dominant performance versus really what's a terrible Iowa offense. I think the Penn State defense is going to struggle this week. They've had some preseason hype about being a pretty good unit, minus the Michigan game, have played well, but they do give up a lot of yards, and they have not played an offense quite like this. Secondary's got some players, but they're ninth in the Big Ten against the pass. I think that is a good sign for C.J. Stroud in that offense. We'll see if Sean Clifford, what he can do against this Ohio State defense. This is the first real test that I think Ohio State's going to have, but Ohio State defense drastically improved from last year, have put up some really good numbers. Sean Clifford, though, quietly having a pretty good year. I still think Penn State's a little bit too one-dimensional on the offensive side of the ball, and so I think they're going to find a way to score, but I think the Buckeyes are going to be too much here. I think they are too talented. I think I don't know if Ohio State's going to cover this game. It's right around that two-score game is where ultimately I think it's going to end up being, but I'm taking the Buckeyes for 9 confidence points on the road.
King, to answer your question, Fox did select this game very early on in the season as a big noon kickoff, and they do like to do the whiteout at night,
yep,
which is why it was not eligible for selection.
Figured that was
a big talking point. Big talking point in Big Ten circles for sure. Worked out all right for Penn State last week. We'll see how it goes this week. Ryan, I want to get your thoughts on Ohio State at Penn State before I chime in with mine.
Sure. We've got Ohio State winning by 15, right on the number. We've had a good feel on Ohio State and actually Penn State as well. I know Zach referenced last week for Ohio State and their little sluggish offensive performance. I wonder, we've talked about it internally, how much teams like that almost equate the Alabama win over Mississippi State similar, where you're never really feeling tested, and if that's just one of those times where you get like a little sluggish, we'll win by our 20 to 30. So I didn't really take a whole lot out of, them, struggling a little bit on the offensive side. Same with Alabama in the second half against Mississippi State. So we like Ohio State by about 2 touchdowns. I agree. I think that Ohio State's going to end up handling it a little bit more than the 2 touchdown line.
How many confidence points you taking, Ryan?
Yep. Give me 10.
All right. So 10 there. I'm with you guys on this. Ryan, my model likes Ohio State by 14, so a little bit short of the Vegas number and what your model thinks of this. This is an Ohio State offense, guys, that's number two nationally. They were number one last year. This Tennessee offense, we're going to talk more about Tennessee later. They're my number one offense right now. But Ohio State, a number two offense nationally. The defense is so much improved this year. Yes, you can talk about, has Ohio State played anybody yet? The Notre Dame game in week one, Notre Dame was a better team, or we thought they were a better team than maybe they ended up being here. Wisconsin, another good win for Ohio State, but Wisconsin's maybe not the team we thought. Michigan State, Iowa, same deal. It doesn't matter. From an efficiency standpoint, this Ohio State defense is much, much improved. I've got them up in the top 15 nationally. This Penn State defense, really good, guys. They're a top 10 unit for me, but King, as you said, they have not seen an offense like Ohio State yet. I do like Ohio State in this game, and I'm trying to think, like, is there a way Ohio State's caught looking ahead here? I'm looking at the schedule. No. They've got Northwestern next, Indiana at home after that. Like, Penn State is going to get Ohio State's full attention, and for that reason, I am taking Ohio State in this game, and I'm taking them for 9 confidence points. So to recap this one, Ryan on Ohio State for 10, Kinger and I both on the Buckeyes for 9 in what I have as the number 3 best game of the week. This next game, Ryan, we'll start with you. We've got Notre Dame going on the road to Syracuse. Kinger, what's Vegas think about this? And then Ryan, give us your thoughts on Notre Dame at Syracuse.
Syracuse is laying 3 at home, over under 48.
I'm very torn on this one. We've been bitten several times this year with Syracuse in the dome, dating even all the way back to Purdue. And we've got a pick'em on our model, and I'm torn. I go back and forth on who I want to actually pick to win this game. I think that I'm going to go with Notre Dame to actually win. The reason being that we track where each team is in terms of their max and min throughout the year, and it just so happens that right now we have Notre Dame sitting at their lowest point and Syracuse at their highest point. And so we're hoping that those kind of neutralize this week and Notre Dame comes out on top. I hesitate to say that because I think that Syracuse is going to give everything that they can to take out Notre Dame this week. But I'll go with Notre Dame pulling the upset this week for 2.
How many? 2 points? So, Ryan, I think that is so cool that you track the max and the min of the team's ratings and where you have them. That might be something that I steal moving forward and something that I track and look on because I have all that data, but I've never put it in a presentable form or even considered it for myself when we're going through these picks and everything. So I think that's really, really cool. I cannot believe that I'm saying this. If you would have told me in the preseason that, hey, Kelly, Notre Dame's going to be going on the road to Syracuse in week 9, like who you picking to win that game straight up, I would have bet a lot of money at that time that I'd be saying Notre Dame, and it probably won't be that close. Well, it is going to be close, and I'm actually going to go the other way. And I don't know how I feel about it, Ryan. You're right. Syracuse is a team that has greatly overachieved this year, one of the top 5 biggest overachievers with regard to their win-loss record relative to what my numbers expected in the preseason. So an absolutely phenomenal year for Syracuse so far, 6-1, obviously coming off their first loss of the year down at Clemson in a game you could argue they could have and maybe should have won, a big, big penalty on that drive there late or in the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter, to keep Clemson in that game and ultimately go on to win it. I am going to take Syracuse in this game. I have them power rated number 20. I have Notre Dame power rated number 26. This game's at Syracuse. I have a 60% win probability for Syracuse in this game. I think they are going to be on the bounce back coming off that Clemson game and a game, like I said, that they probably feel they could have or even should have won. Notre Dame's got Clemson on the other side of this. So I'm not suggesting that Notre Dame is not going to be focused on Syracuse. They absolutely have to be, but it can be tempting when you've got a team like Clemson waiting on the other side to have your eyes start wandering towards that. So my number's like Syracuse by 3.5. I am going to take the orange in this game, and I'm taking them with 4 confidence points. Kinger, we need you to break the tie.
Yeah, I'm going to join you on Q's, and I said that line was they're laying 3 at home. I just saw on my site right here, it's down to 2.5, and I'm actually going to bet Syracuse at minus 2.5. This should be a pretty low-scoring game. The focus is obviously going to be on the defense for both teams. Q's, you said it, Kelly.
I think they had a real good chance of winning at Clemson last week. Held Clemson to 10 points through three quarters. Obviously had that meltdown in the fourth. This defense is legit. They've got players at all three levels. They're big physical up front, good at stopping the run, have a great secondary, number one in the ACC, seventh in points allowed nationally at just over 15 a game. ND offense has not played a defense like this. They had a cakewalk versus UNLV last weekend, but this is a Notre Dame offense. They've got Michael Mayer. He's an absolute monster, but they really lack explosion. They don't have a lot of playmakers on that side of the ball. They're going to have to try and run the ball, which Cuse has been very good at stopping. I'm becoming more and more of a fan of Garrett Schrader. He's a little bit limited in the passing game, but he's such a good dual threat. He's a big QB. I like what Cuse is doing. I think they've got some good momentum. They are absolutely looking to get this win at home. They're going to come out ready to go. So give me the orange at home for four confidence points.
All right, so to recap this one, Zach and I both on Syracuse for four, Ryan taking Notre Dame 4-2. Our next game, guys, is not in the FBS. We've got College Game Day going to Jackson State this weekend. They are welcoming in Southern University. Because we play on the ESPN Pick'em, that probably makes sense as to why this game is in the Pick'em. King, what's Vegas think about this game? And then I'll take it first because I'm going to be very brief.
I don't have a line on this. I got to look that up, Kelly. My site is currently no FCS available at the moment, so I got to get that for you.
No worries. We can jump back to it. I'm not sure how many of our listeners are super in tune with the FCS football. So here's what I'll say about this game, guys. Deion Sanders obviously has a lot of things going at Jackson State. He's in the news every single week for one thing or another. I think he is probably destined for an FBS job sooner than later. I know his name's been floated at Georgia Tech. Could make sense down there in Atlanta. I think he'll probably make his way to the FBS ranks at a notable program at some point in the near future, if I had to guess. For now, I do not produce FCS team ratings. I have made it a personal project and priority for this summer to do just that, whether I'm creating team ratings that I update every week or I'm creating a general program rating based on the success of an individual program over the course of the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever it is. I will, in 2023, be able to speak a little bit more about FCS teams. However, as it is, for now, I do not produce FCS team ratings. So I am going to go with Jackson State because I do believe they are the favorite, King. I know we don't have the line readily available, but I think they are the favorite. They are undefeated. They do have Deion Sanders and his son playing quarterback for that team. Give me Jackson State, and because I don't have a line on it, I'm taking them for one confidence point. So as King are still looking that up, Ryan, what about you? Do you do FCS team ratings, Ryan?
Do not. We have not dabbled in FCS quite yet, but I, too, have Jackson State. I think we're going to go with four on Jackson State. I do believe they're the favorite as well. I think we'll go with four.
All right. Kinger, we'll go to you.
I'm 0 for 2. I can't find this line on any site right now. So I'm assuming Jackson State probably, like, I'm guessing touchdown favorite here. I really don't know. I'm throwing that out there. But this Southern team, this was the closest game that they played last year other than the one other time that I watched Jackson State and bet on them in the SWAC championship last year where they got rolled by South Carolina State. Southern's absolutely rolled everyone this year, minus LSU in week two. This has got the potential to be a pretty good game, but I'm taking Jackson State. I'm taking them at home. Deion's got a lot of momentum with that program, so I'm giving them 7 confidence points. That's just where it lined up for me this week.
All right, so Kinger taking them. You say 7 or 8, King?
7.
7. All right, so to recap, we are all on Jackson State with very little analysis to offer for this one. Kinger taking Jackson State for 7. Ryan on Jackson State for 4. I am taking Jackson State for 1. This next game, we're going to the Big 12. I'm going to take this one first, guys, because I have this as my number one game of the week. King, it's Oklahoma State going to Kansas State. What does Vegas think about this game, King? And then I'll get into my analysis.
Kansas State's a 1.5-point favorite at home, over under 56.
Kansas State's the favorite, huh? Okay, well, I'm going to buck it right away. I'm going to take Oklahoma State in this game. I'm going to take them for 2 confidence points. I've got Oklahoma State power rated number 12. They are now my favorite as of this week to win the Big 12 championship. I have TCU joining them in that game, and I have Oklahoma State power rated above TCU. Kansas State, power rated number 18. Kansas State coming off a loss to TCU this week. They have Texas next week, followed by a trip to Baylor. Every single week is a big one in the Big 12. There are no off weeks, except for maybe playing Oklahoma this year, as it turns out. Who would have thought that one? But for me, I think Oklahoma State is the better team. Like I said, I know they got to go on the road. I know it's a tough environment. Oklahoma State should be feeling good after that win against Texas last week. I don't believe Gundy will allow them to feel the letdown. I know our good friend Josh Pate, who we talk about on the show, is taking the late kick tour out to Manhattan, Kansas. So you know it's a big game when Josh is in town. I am very much looking forward to this one. The Big 12 has been my favorite conference to keep an eye on this year. I think Oklahoma State's going to get it done. It might be tough. It might not be pretty. But at the end of the day, my numbers like Oklahoma State by a point. So I'd be taking Oklahoma State. I'd be taking the money line. So give me Oklahoma State and give them to me for 2 confidence points. Kinger, what about you?
If there was more certainty around the health of K-State, I would be leaning the Wildcats at home. But there's still a lot of question marks there. And with what I've seen from Oklahoma State these last few weeks, has been pretty impressive. K-State had 5 key players leave with injury last week. Adrian Martinez, Deuce Vaughn, their best linebacker, Daniel Green, best corner, Julius Brent, starting safety, Josh Hayes. I think Klieman today said that nothing was serious, that it's not going to be long-term for any of these guys, but there's still, I guess, injury designations to these guys, and there's not still a 100% sure, assured that they are who is going to play this week. So it's looking like it's come down to Will Howard. He's been there before. He's a veteran QB for Kansas State. He came in last year, backed up Skylar Thompson. He's got some big game experience, but that defense really fell apart in the second half last week without some of their studs. The depth there is a problem. And Spencer Sanders still playing good football. He did have his 3rd interception in 4 weeks, but the turnovers have been kept down this year. K-State defense really good when healthy, but I think the Oklahoma State offense is just going to find a way to put up points. I think they've got too much momentum right now. We talk about the playmakers on the outside. They've got some weapons. Oklahoma State defense seems to be getting better as the season goes on. They let up yards and some points, but they do a pretty good job of creating turnovers. They're pretty good on 3rd down. I'm going to stick with the momentum here. Again, I would take the Wildcats if there was more certainty around the health, but I'm taking Oklahoma State on the road for 1 confidence point.
Ryan, what say you?
I'm going to buck the trend again. We've got Kansas State by 3. I agree with everything you said. Injuries are a problem, and like we can only do so much with what we have. I'm banking on it not being a serious concern, like you said. The reason why I'm sticking to Kansas State in this matchup, we've had a very good feel on Oklahoma State and Kansas State this year. We've had roughly a 3.6 point variance for Oklahoma State from the beginning to now, and Kansas State only at a 4.5. So those are very low in terms of having a feel in, on all the teams in the country. I think on average, they're around 7 points of variance between high and low. So those are pretty good feels on both those teams. I'll stick with Kansas State winning outright and for 3 points.
All right, so for the second time tonight, we do have a disagreement. Zach and I both think Oklahoma State will win this one. I'm taking the Cowboys for 2. Kinger using his 1-pointer, and Ryan going with Kansas State for 3, which is actually the most confident of any of us on this game. Safe to say, we all expect it to be a fantastic game in Manhattan. King, we're going to the Big Ten here. Let's start with you again as our Big Ten expert and fan. We're in the West, Purdue's West. King, we've got Illinois going on the road to Nebraska. What's Vegas think? What do you think?
Illinois is a 7.5-point favorite on the road, over-under sitting at 50. This is only the 3rd time Illinois is leaving Champaign this year. 3rd road game for them in late October. That is something that the Illini have had going for them. Not many teams are in that position. Both teams coming in off the bye, so should be healthy, ready to go, get back out on that field. Still not fully adjusted to how good I think Illinois has been this year, but this is the number 1 rated total defense in the country at the moment. They're the only team allowing under 4 yards per play. Again, we got to take into account some of the competition that Illinois has played, but there is absolutely zero doubt that this defense is legitimate, and they also have talent at all 3 levels. 3 guys with over 4 sacks, they get after the quarterback, and that smells trouble for Nebraska this week. The O-line has not been good, allowed 20 sacks this year already. When you give Casey Thompson time, he's proven he can be an efficient quarterback, has the ability to throw the ball, but this is going to be a tough matchup for them. And on the other side, Illinois is just going to pound this pound the rock down Nebraska's throat. Poor rushing defense from Nebraska, dead last in the Big Ten. We saw Purdue have their first 100-yard rusher for the first time in 4 years 2 weeks ago. Chase Brown should have a field day, so I'm taking the Illini pretty confident here with 6 confidence points.
All right, Ryan, what about you?
Our model has Illinois winning by 5. I, too, am going to take Illinois by 6. I like the points that Nebraska's getting against the spread this week. Something feels like they're just going to hang around a little bit in this one. So I think we're going to give it a look for a play later on this week.
With that hook, too, at 7.5, that is intriguing for Nebraska. I think there could be some value there for sure.
So interesting to hear you guys' take on that and how you'd lean maybe against the spread. My number is like Illinois by 8.5. So it's actually slightly the other side of that. I know 7.5 crossing 7 is a big football number, 7.5 to 8.5 not, but that's what my model thinks. This is a story of two very drastically different teams this year, guys, relative to the expectations. Illinois projected to be one of, if not the worst team in the Big Ten West. By my numbers, Nebraska was projected to be one of, I think I had them number 2 behind Wisconsin. Neither one of those picks looking very good in the West. Nebraska is one of the biggest underachievers of the year in their win-loss record relative to expected. Illinois, one of the biggest overachievers. I've got Illinois power rated number 29. Nebraska all the way down at number 75, guys. I know they're both coming off the bye, King, as you said. That hopefully helps Nebraska try to keep this game close. I just think there's something special about this Illinois team this year. I've got them number 15 in the most deserving rankings. If you would have told me that we'd be entering the final week of October and I would have Illinois in the top 15 of my merit rankings, I probably would have laughed at you. Like, I did not see this coming. I won't try to pretend I did. This is a good Illinois team. It's a struggling Nebraska team. I like Illinois to win this game. I'm taking them with 7 confidence points. So to recap, we are all on Illinois. I'm taking the Illini for 7. Kinger and Ryan taking Illinois for 6. All right, we're moving over to the American Athletic Conference. Ryan, we're going to start with you, but King, what does Vegas think about Cincinnati going on the road to UCF, a matchup of two of the preseason favorites in the AAC? I'm not sure anybody saw Tulane coming out of the gates the way they have, but this is a massive game in the American. King, what's Vegas think?
Yeah, it's a pick 'em, and the over-under is 56.
All right, Ryan, it's a pick 'em. Which way are we going?
We're going to go with Central Florida at home. We've got it around 5. Just feel like it's one of those opportunities for Central Florida, playing at home, actually getting the Bearcats with an actual opportunity to win. That means a lot in these games like this. It's not some far-fetched dream that they can't win this game. So I think they'll definitely be up. We'll take Central Florida, and I'm actually going to go a little bit higher this time for 7.
All right. I'm going to join you on Central Florida, Ryan. You said your model likes the Knights by 5. I like them by about 4 in this game, so very, very similar. These are two good teams by the power rating standpoint. I have UCF power rated number 25. I have Cincinnati power rated number 35. Of course, this is not the same quality Cincinnati team we saw make the playoff last year. This is a UCF team that hasn't been super consistent this year. They blew the doors off. I think it was Temple just a couple weeks ago. Put up 70 points on them. They made a big jump in my power ratings all the way up to, I want to say it was like number 16 or 17 after that. Then they come out last weekend and lay an egg at East Carolina. They get beat 34-13. That dropped them down to number 25 in my power ratings. But I'm expecting a bounce back. They're going to be hyped up for this game again. Like I said, these are probably two of the preseason favorites in the American. Now you've got Tulane poking around in there, another good team that I have in the top 25 of my most deserving rankings. So I'm going to go with UCF. I think they're going to get up for it. I think folks are going to be excited about this game. These are two programs that are going to make the transition to the Big 12 next year. I think both of them would like to leave the American with a championship in hand. This game will go a long way in determining who has the inside track to that. So give me UCF. I'm taking them for 5 confidence points. King, you joining us or going against us?
Yeah, UCF did get caught last week, and I think there might be a little bit more significance to this game had they not lost on the road at East Carolina. An East Carolina team that, as I have said, is a very scrappy football team. But look, UCF,
They've looked very good at times this year, but the consistency's level, as you said, Kelly, has not been there. And the key to beating them is exactly what East Carolina did last week. Shut down the run and put the game in John Rhys Plumlee's hands. They had him throw it 38 times last week. All about Cincinnati this week, stopping the run, making Rhys Plumlee beat you through the air. He's good dual threat, has the ability to run it. But the Cincinnati defense has been pretty good against the run, and I like that matchup this week. On the offense, again, Ben Bryant just needs to take care of the football. He struggled a little bit at times this year for Cincinnati, but they found ways to get in the end zone, found ways to win. They're going to have to rely on their workhorse back, Charles McClelland. UCF, big game at home in the bounce house. Thought about joining you guys, but I'm going to go the opposite way. I'm taking Cincinnati for 3 confidence points.
All right, so to recap this one, interesting, we've got King out on the island this time. He is taking Cincinnati for 3. Ryan and I both on UCF. Ryan for 7. I am on the Knights for 5. Ryan, I know we just started with you in that game. We're going to start with you again because we're going down to the SEC. We've got a game in the SEC East. We've got Missouri on the road at South Carolina. Guys, I want to talk about the South Carolina team. They are having a phenomenal year, picking up some wins, and in the preseason, maybe we didn't expect. So, King, what's Vegas think about this? And then let's get to Ryan and hear what the model thinks about Missouri and South Carolina.
South Carolina is laying 4 at home, over under 47.
All right, so we've got South Carolina winning about by 2. I think we have this a little shorter this week, mainly due to the non-offensive scores that they had last week. If you look at that box score, I'm pretty sure Texas A&M was, you know, in front on a lot of the key metrics in terms of box scores. And a lot of times those defensive and special team scores are not transferable week to week. Not that it's a knock against them and how they won last week. Somebody said that they were 5-2, and I had to recheck that this evening. So hats off to them for having a good season thus far. A pleasant surprise. I'll take South Carolina, even though it's slim, for 5 confidence.
All right, Kinger, what do you make of this one?
Yeah, this should be a low-scoring battle here with 2 teams that absolutely love to turn the ball over. Spencer Rattler, Brady Cook, respective quarterbacks here, both lead the SEC in interceptions. Missouri defense, though, been playing great since that blowout to Kansas State in week 2. They have not allowed more than 26 points in a game. That included that game versus Georgia. They're 2nd in the conference, allowing opponents to convert only 29% on 3rd downs. They get off the field, and that should match up well versus a pretty shaky South Carolina offense and Spencer Rattler, who has been a little bit turnover prone this year. South Carolina turned the ball over multiple times in every game this year, but the problem is Missouri's offense is pretty terrible as well. They had 4 turnovers in the 17-14 win at Vandy last week. They have Luther Burden, that 5-star, but they severely lack explosive players on the offensive side. I like whoever wins the turnover battle, so I'm going to give this edge to South Carolina at home. They have been playing well, a little bit of a pleasant surprise in the SEC East, so I'm going to join Ryan. Give me the Gamecocks with 5 confidence points.
So I'm from the Midwest. I went to a Big Ten institution for undergrad. I cheer for a Big Ten team. I think of anybody that lives in this area of the country, I appreciate the SEC as much, if not more, than any of those other college football fans because I absolutely love the high-quality football played in the SEC. Don't give me, oh, Kelly, you got to stay with me. No, I love the SEC because they have great football. These are 2 teams that, relative to SEC standards, are not great football teams. I've got South Carolina power-rated number 44. They're having a great year, and being power-rated 44 is actually pretty good. I mean, you're right around the middle of the Power 5 average, maybe slightly below it. But in terms of the SEC, that's number 11. Missouri's number 13 in the SEC, power-rated number 59. So I am not sure entirely why we're picking this game outside of maybe the storyline of South Carolina just having a phenomenal year to this point, being 5-2, coming off back-to-back wins at Kentucky with Noel Levis, and at home to Texas A&M. I think these next 2 games for South Carolina are huge. They've got Missouri at home. They go on the road to Vanderbilt. This is a South Carolina team that, guys, could be 7-2 going into their game at Florida. I mean, who would have thought at the beginning of the year, South Carolina 7-2? I think there's storylines in this game. I don't think it's going to be the most high-quality matchup, but I think it will be competitive. My number's like South Carolina by 6. So, Ryan, there's a pretty significant gap in terms of when we compare our models. We're usually pretty close. I think you said you have them by about 2. So, 4-point swing's pretty big here. I do like South Carolina in this game. I'm taking the Gamecocks to get it done, and I'm going to take them for 6 confidence points. So to recap this one, we are all on South Carolina. I'm taking the Gamecocks for 6. Kinger and Ryan taking the Gamecocks for 5. We're going to keep it in the SEC. King, we're going to start with you because I know you're Mr. SEC himself. We've got another game in the East. This is a very big one. If I said that Missouri-South Carolina is maybe not the biggest SEC East game, this is this biggest SEC East game this week, only to be topped by one coming next week, but we'll get to that later. For this week, it's Kentucky going on the road to Tennessee, King. What does Vegas think, and what do you think?
Tennessee's a 12-point favorite home, over under 63.5. I don't know if you guys saw this, Volunteers busting out the all-black uniforms and black helmets for the game this weekend. Pretty slick look, if I do say so myself. And they're giving Tennessee a lot of love, 12.5 at home, depending on where you see it. That seems a little high for me, and I'm actually going to take Kentucky to cover in this game. This comes down to Will Levis and that Kentucky offense keeping Hendon Hooker off the field as much as possible. They want to control the time of possession, make sure they take care of the football. They want to have long, sustained drives. The opportunity should be there for that Kentucky offense. Tennessee, second to last in the nation against the pass, 130th, allowing almost 330 yards per game through the air. UT Martin last week threw for over 300 against them. The offensive line has been real shaky for Kentucky, though. SEC worst, 26 sacks allowed. They have to give Levis time to stay in this game. Kentucky defense will have its handful, as everybody who plays Tennessee does, but this is a very good Kentucky secondary. They held Will Rogers just over 200 last week, have had some success against teams trying to throw the ball against them this year. I think this is going to be a close football game. I think Tennessee ultimately wins this by 7 to 10 points, but I think it's a one-possession game for a lot of this. And so give me Tennessee, give me him for 7 confidence points, but as I said, I'm going to bet Kentucky this week.
All right. Kinger, you want Tennessee for 7 or 8 and Jackson State for 7 or 8? Because you just said 7 again. You have 2 7s out there. Which one do you want 8?
All right, give me Tennessee for 8, Jackson State for 7.
All right, I've been high on Tennessee all year. I had the Volunteers jump up into my top 7 going into week 2 in the power ratings. They have not dropped any lower than that since. They've been as high as number 5, which is where I have them right now. This Tennessee offense is legit. Hendon Hooker is in the Heisman conversation. He's got that signature win against Alabama. A few more opportunities here upcoming to continue to gain momentum in that race. I like Tennessee in this game. I'm using my 10-pointer for Tennessee here. I'm very confident that they are going to win. I think Kentucky, what they have going for them is they are coming off of a bye this past week. Tennessee played UT Martin at home, though, right? So it's about as close to a bye as you can get playing in the SEC without actually being off in a given week. If Kentucky does find a way to win this game, they go at Missouri and home to Vanderbilt, the two after that. Kentucky could be 8-2 with Georgia rolling into town in week 12. So something to keep an eye on. But my numbers like Tennessee, an 86% chance to win this game. I like the Volunteers by 15.5 points. I just think this is a great year for Tennessee. Hopefully, they are not looking ahead to Georgia next week. I don't believe they will be doing that, knowing that this season right now is on the precipice of being something special. It already is special, of being something extraordinary. I don't think they're going to get caught looking ahead. Give me Tennessee in this game. I'm taking them for 10. Ryan, what about you? You joining us on Tennessee, or are you taking Kentucky?
I'm joining on Tennessee. We've got them around 10 as well, like Kinger said. It's a unique spot, like you said, for the UT Martin game last week. Typically, we don't assign letdown games on games like that. You've got that semi-bye, essentially. But at the same time, I do wonder if this is the week where we start to see those middle of the pack, not always in the national championship talk, start to weigh on Tennessee, especially with the Georgia game looming. So I like them in that 7 to 10 range as well. We'll take Tennessee with 8 up.
All right, to recap this one, we are all on the Volunteers. I'm using my 10-pointer, Kinger and Ryan, both taking Tennessee for 8. Ryan, we're going to come back to you to start here. We've got another game in the SEC. This is our third one in a row. This time we're going over to the West Division, though. King, what's Vegas think about Ole Miss at Texas A&M? And then let's kick it to Ryan.
Ole Miss is 2.5-point favorite on the road, over under 55.
So the Ole Miss train's gotten slowed down just a little bit. And I hate that it hit a bump last week because I really wanted to cheer for them against Texas A&M. I'm the contrarian, let's root for you know, an accident, an absolute disaster down there for Jimbo. But we've got it approximately a pick, actually, just a slight lean to Ole Miss. So I would be leaning Texas A&M to cover that spread, but we'll go with a Ole Miss win for one.
I've got this game, guys, as the number two game of the week. I know it's a little bit off the radar for most because Texas A&M is now just 3-4 on the year. We are very close to an absolute train wreck of a season, as Ryan talked about there. But this is still a Texas A&M team that I have power rated number 28, Ole Miss power rated number 15. So when you have two teams that are power rated in the top 30, the better rated of the two going on the road, that closes the expected point spread between the two, which is going to increase the competitiveness portion of the game score projection. So this game projecting is the number two game of the week for those reasons. I'm very excited to see this game. Ole Miss, as we talked about, really just, they jumped out on LSU, and then I don't know what happened. They stopped playing, and LSU did not, and LSU just closed the game on an absolute tear and really kind of blew out Ole Miss in the end. So this is an Ole Miss team that's going to need a bounce back. It's a Texas A&M team that's coming off three consecutive losses. They're going to be absolutely desperate. Like, I think this is a game that definitely merits people's attention this week, if for no other reason than Ole Miss is still in that SEC West race. They got Texas A&M this week, then they are off. Then they welcome Alabama to town. If they continue to win, they do need LSU now to drop another game, but LSU has Bama coming up next week. So there's a lot of dynamics still at play. There's a lot left to play for these teams. Ole Miss still looking to get to Atlanta. Texas A&M looking to make a bowl game, right? I mean, there's some news out of College Station this week about Jimbo indefinitely suspending three members of that phenomenal 2022 recruiting class. King, we've talked about this on this show before. It's great when you bring in the number one class. In the transfer portal age and the NIL age, you've got to re-recruit your own players almost constantly, not just every summer, just during the year even. We said if Texas A&M doesn't have a great year, it's possible you could start to see some of these five stars say, you know what, I'm out of here. I'm going somewhere else. Thanks for the NIL money. See you later. And they'll transfer and be eligible to play right away. We're getting close, I think, to seeing some of that talent leave College Station. Texas A&M needs this game. Ole Miss needs this game. It's going to be really good, guys. I'm taking Ole Miss. I like them by 2 points in this game. It's a 55% win probability straight up. So give me Ole Miss, and I'm taking them for 3 confidence points. King, what about you?
Yeah, you took a lot of my talking points there, Kelly. The train is off the tracks at A&M, in my opinion. I think we're already at that point. This is a wounded dog. 3 in a row. You said the two freshmen getting suspended, talking about the transfer portal. I saw some stuff. Don't know if they're rumors or not, but that it had something to do with trying to recruit different people to transfer out of A&M. I don't know if that's fabricated a little bit, but I'm taking Ole Miss on the road this week. Mentioned just how the state of the A&M program, and Ole Miss is great running team. And I think this A&M defense has not quite lived up to the expectations this year. When A&M has played teams that run the football well this year, examples, Bama and Arkansas, they have gotten absolutely torched. They did end up winning that Arkansas game, but 250-plus on the ground versus the Razorbacks. Bama torched them as well. I think that smells trouble for A&M this week. I just don't know if they're going to get fired up. Like, I don't know if this season still means anything to them. Ole Miss still wants this Bama game to mean something in a few weeks. They still want to be in the SEC West conversation. They still can be with a win this week. So I'm going to take them low confidence with 2 this week. But I think the Rebels find a way to get it done. I'm taking Lane and Ole Miss.
All right, so to recap, we are all on Ole Miss. Nobody very confident. I'm taking the Rebels for 3, Kinger for 2, Ryan on Ole Miss for 1. That means we are all projecting Texas A&M to be 3-5 with Florida on deck, and then going to Auburn, home to UMass, home to LSU. Guys, that bowl eligibility becomes a real question mark if they drop this game, for sure. All right, we've got one more game. I'll start us off on this one. We're going out to the Pac-12. We've got Stanford going on the road to UCLA. King, what does Vegas think about this? And then I'll jump in.
UCLA is a 16.5 point favorite at home, over under 64.5.
All right, so for me, I'm pretty confident in this one. I have UCLA power rated number 31. I know they're coming off their first loss of the year to Oregon, a game that, King, we picked last week. I think you and I were both on Oregon in that game, so we did expect that. UCLA has not been one of my favorites to make the Pac-12 championship game at any point throughout this season, despite the great record that they've gotten off to. We talked in the preseason about how their schedule sets up maybe for them to get a lot of wins without this being the highest quality team. Like I said, power rated number 31. It's still a good team. They're not a great team. The good news for them is they are playing Stanford this week, who I have power rated number 66. I like UCLA in this game big. I like them to win by about 11. There's no trap. I mean, UCLA is going to be motivated. They've just gotten beat. They know they got to win now to keep pace and to stay in that race for the Pac-12 championship. Their upcoming games after this at Arizona State, home to Arizona. So I don't think they're going to be looking ahead to anybody just yet. They do have USC down the line. Stanford, to their credit, has reeled off two wins in a row. That is following four straight losses. They opened the year to beat Colgate, then they lost four straight in the Pac-12, beat Notre Dame on the road in a game that still doesn't make any sense to me. I really can't figure out what Notre Dame's all about this year. And then they beat Arizona State last week. So they've got a little bit rolling, but I think UCLA is just too good. I think UCLA is going to be too motivated on the bounce back. Give me UCLA, and I'm taking them for 8 confidence points. King, what about you?
Yeah, you said Stanford scraping out a couple ugly wins, Notre Dame, Arizona State. They're going to about to get sent back to reality this week. The reality is they are not a very good football team, and you're going to have a UCLA team ready to bounce back. Like you said, they know they have to win. Stanford defense has done a decent job of keeping them in the game this year, but they have struggled mightily against the run, allowing 5.5 yards per carry, almost 190 yards per game. This is going to be a big week for Charbonnet and that offense. Charbonnet's leading the Pac-12, only guy in the conference averaging over 100 yards per game, rushing at 130. He's been dominant. DTR in this offense, they're going to find a way to put up some points. And this UCLA defense, been good this year. They had a bad week versus a good Oregon offensive line, good Oregon offense. Bo Nix did tear them apart pretty good, but this is the week they get back on track. I'm super confident in UCLA this week. Give me the Bruins for 10 confidence points.
All right, Ryan, we're closing out the pick section with you. Stanford at UCLA, what's the model think?
So we're a little lower than the 10 or 11 that you mentioned. We've got it at 8. And I think that's solely because we don't have a great feel on the bounce back factors and how often to implement them. So I like them in that 11, 12, 13 range too. From a gut perspective, I just don't see a world where they don't come out and have a very focused football team. We've had a great feel on these two teams as well. I know I've talked about it earlier in the night. UCLA, we've had them within 2.4 points from start to the bottom, or start to finish now, and then Stanford at 4.8. So very good feel on both of these teams from the start of the season to now. It makes me feel like we should be probably betting on Stanford, but the points that you guys point out, I think we'll pass. We'll lean Stanford, but we'll take UCLA to win for 9.
All right, Ryan, I'm convinced now. I'm definitely stealing your variance that you always reference, the high points, low points. I'm going to start tracking that for my own knowledge with my ratings and help inform my conversation, I think, moving forward. So I absolutely love that. To recap, we are all on UCLA. We are all very confident that the Bruins are going to win this game outright. Kinger using his 10-pointer, Ryan on the Bruins for 9. I am taking UCLA for 8. All right, guys, that wraps up the picks portion of the podcast. We are now going to go to Kinger's best bets. King, I know I always give my input on, hey, what my model thinks about the bet. I also, Ryan, if you're good with it, I want to get your input on these bets as well. If you're comfortable sharing, if your model would have a lean, whether it's an official play or not, just what's your model think. And then, Ryan, we always like to give our guests the opportunity at the very end to provide any best bets that they feel confident about in a week. Kinger has been known to put some money of his own down on those, and they usually pan out pretty well, I'd say, King. So, Ryan, we'll get to those. But, King, let's start with you. What are the best bets you're looking at this week?
Yeah, I got 5 plays this week thus far, and I owed it to the listeners as an update as to where I'm at with my gambling progress this year. I went back, tallied up the numbers, and we are sitting at a beautiful 25-33-1. So the hashtag road to 500 is definitely on. The good news is we got 5 weeks to win some money this year. And I got five plays this week. A couple of them we already talked about. Syracuse, -2.5. Actually, before I dive into that, I got to say, my buddy always says I need to apologize to the bettors. So I'm going to quickly apologize to the bettors for the poor performance thus far this season. Like I said, we still got plenty of time. We're going to bounce back. There you go, Andrew. There's your shout-out that you've been looking for. Syracuse, -2.5 this week. Already said it. I know Ryan, he did not like that line. But Kelly, you said you like Syracuse by 3.5, correct?
That is correct. So I would agree with you there. Ryan said he was not on that side, though. You're right.
Okay. I'm going to take Kentucky +12 on the road at Tennessee.
And I've got in that game Kentucky. I like Tennessee by 15.5, King, so I'd be against you on that one.
Ryan was with me on that one, though.
Yep. We've got it at 10 at a cover probability of about 56.5 right now at 12.5.
Cool.
I love the cover probability, yeah, that's, too. I think that's such a cool aspect of the model.
Definitely awesome. Third game that I'm on. I'm on USC -15.5 at Arizona. This is a bounce back for USC after the tough road loss at Utah coming off the bye. Arizona stinks. They do. The defense stinks. I think this is going to be a three-score game for the Trojans on the road. They want to prove they're still the dominant team in the Pac-12.
It's only 15.5, King. My number is like USC in this one by 20. I think there's some significant value there on USC. Ryan, what about you?
We've got it a little higher than that, around 17.5. I like USC as well, King.
Okay.
That's a good play, King. I like that.
Three-score game. That's a projection there. Next one. This is a team that has not covered in 6 weeks, that the train is absolutely off the tracks. I'm taking ECU +3, the scrappy East Carolina Pirates on the road at BYU. This is a really good, not really good, but this is a sound ECU defense. I think BYU at home, chance they come out fired up, but this is a team that I think that's lost some motivation here. So give me the Pirates. They seem to have some good momentum going. I think BYU's really struggled, so I'm going to continue that trend that they're not going to cover for 7 weeks in a row.
I'm with you, King. I got this game as a pick'em. My numbers do lean BYU by less than half a point. So BYU is a team, like, they were looking good early, and my numbers were kind of starting to feel them a little bit, and it has just, the bottom's falling out, King. This is 2 weeks in a row they've been the team that we've called out on the live reaction show on Sunday, yep, that we've hated the most from the group of five. And I know they're an independent, they're not technically group of five, but they're not a power five team yet. They will be next year. This 2 weeks in a row, the bottom has just fallen out. I'm with you. I mean, yeah, East Carolina +3, absolutely. Ryan, what about you?
We've had a good feel on BYU most of the year. I know everybody was yelling and screaming for them to get a little respect, and it seems like they came down to earth once those the schedule got a little more difficult. We agree. We've got ECU winning by 0.2, so still sounds good.
All right, I like it. This is making me feel good, guys. It's putting a smile on my face here. This is where the comeback begins. And then the last game of the week, Wake Forest -3.5 at Louisville. Louisville quietly on a three-game win streak here. I think there's been some momentum that the Cardinals might be figuring out a way to put this together. But I think the fact of the matter is I still think this Louisville defense isn't very good. I think this Wake Forest offense is clicking. The Wake Forest defense is better than last year. It's still not great, but they're better against the run. I think Louisville has not played an offense quite like this. So I'm going to take Wake Forest, who's also been very hot covering this year. I think they win on the road. I think they bring Louisville back down to earth. So give me them, even with the hook, the three would have felt a lot better about, but I'm taking Wake Forest -3.5.
I hate to wipe the smile off, King. I'll be curious what Ryan says, but I'm going the other way here. I like Wake Forest to win, but I like them to win by only a point. Wake Forest, a really, really good team. Power rated number 17. They're having a great season. 6-1. They've won 3 on the bounce. It's a really good team. It's a good story. I think Louisville, they're a team that, Ryan, I don't know about you. I don't know what to make of Louisville. They got highs. They got lows. It's win one, lose one. One step forward, two steps back. But in this game, as of this moment, King, I would be taking Louisville in those points. But I'm very curious what Ryan has to say, because Louisville's just been so all over.
I've been a fan of what Wake's done after they, the quarterback uncertainties at the beginning of the year, and then still bouncing back after the Clemson loss. Very impressive. But I agree. We've got Wake winning by 1.9, so 2. That hook might be important. So,
okay. Well, I still like it. I feel good about the bet. I feel good about the bets this week, being in line with you guys. And again, it's when you both are aligned, it definitely makes me feel good. That's for sure.
Love it, love it. Well, hey, Ryan, before we get out of here, do you have any best bets that you'd like to share with the listeners this week? Knowing how successful the model's been, I'm sure they're interested, but anything that you feel inclined to give out?
I like the line move on the Notre Dame game. I know Kinger's on the other side of it. I like seeing it go down to +2.5. Not a lot of confidence in it, but like I said, hoping that we see a little bit of a regression to the mean for both of those teams. Like I said, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense knowing that Syracuse is going to be up to beat Notre Dame, of course. So probably a medium confidence on them. I also like Georgia. I know we've had a good feel on them as well. I think the matchup for them, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I don't see them struggling with the run, and Richardson hadn't really shown that they can actually, you know, consistently pass on them, so on anyone. So I'll give the benefit of the doubt to the more talented team as well as the better coach team.
What's the line on that one, Ryan?
I've got at 22.5 right now.
Yeah, I see 22.
So big number. You know, I got a big number, but value is value, right?
Value is value. So at 22, my number is like Georgia by 23. So Ryan and I both on the same side of that Georgia minus 22, albeit not a lot of room there. But King, something to consider for you. It's a huge game every single year. The world's largest outdoor cocktail party. It's going to be phenomenal. I just think, like Ryan said, Georgia's the better team. They're the better coach team. They're the team that still has many of their goals in front of them for this season. Not to say Florida doesn't. We weren't expecting Florida to win the SEC East this year. Billy Napier's done a great job getting that program turned around in year one, but Georgia's the ready-made championship contender. So with you on that one as well, Ryan.
And the last one I had was Nebraska. I'll take that good number at 7.5. Another situation where eventually I feel like we've got to have a little bit of fall off or a normalized game for our perception of what Illinois usually is. So we'll take Nebraska regardless of their slack performance.
All right. I think I mentioned I like Illinois in that one by about 8.5. So there we go. Hey, Ryan, this has been outstanding. Really enjoyed having you on. It was so much fun to bring our conversations from the DMs and from texts onto the podcast and to get Kinger in here on it as well. I really enjoyed this. Just want to say thank you. Ryan, remind everybody one more time, where can they find you on Twitter and your website?
Sure. You can find me at NCAAF_Unlimited on Twitter, and our website is collegefootballunlimited.com. Yeah, Kelly, thanks so much for having me on. I've been, like I said, looking forward to talking to you guys. Love what you guys do. Love all our conversations off of Twitter and through text. So really enjoyed this. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, we appreciate you, Ryan. Awesome content you're putting out there for all the gamblers. Again, go check him out. It is absolutely the information and content you need to be successful gambling if you're in that space. Great to meet you, man. Thanks for coming on the show.
Kinger, I think you basically just read my endorsement that we have on the website there. That was paraphrasing what I had, so couldn't have said it better myself. Ryan, thanks again. We've really enjoyed this. That's it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. We really appreciate you. Until next time, enjoy week 9 of the 2022 college football season.